One of my most treasured and yet challenging experiences in life has been becoming a parent. It seems each age so far has brought its own set of learning experiences for my wife and I. But one of the coolest things has been since Elsie, our oldest, has begun being able to communicate with us through words. No longer do we have to guess sign language or different variations of indistinguishable noises, but when Elsie needs to say something, she can typically pull from her vocabulary well enough to piece together what she wants to say. And while it is certainly easier to communicate with her, having a child that can communicate back to you brings its own unique set of challenges. For example, Elsie has learned the meaning of the word why. Why, why? It seems the question why now follows many things that we ask Elsie to do. Elsie wants to know why it's crucial to keep her room clean, or brush her teeth, or share with her brother. She understands what she is being asked to do, but wants to understand why she is being asked to do it. It's no longer enough for her to understand just what we are asking her to do, but understanding why it's important. And that question of why is a crucial one. And I believe it's one that we should never stop asking, especially in our pursuit of Jesus. In the passage that we are examining today, Jesus is speaking to a group of Jews who knew the scriptures incredibly well, but missed the fact that scripture points to Jesus. Because there is a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to encourage you to turn to John chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 39 to 47. So John chapter 5, verses 39 to 47. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth and the life that comes from your word in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that as we read scripture, as we look into this passage together, that we can see Jesus and that that truth speaks to us. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you would reveal that truth to us. You would reveal that life-giving truth of the gospel through Jesus Christ. You would convict us of what you need to convict us of, Lord, and that you would lead us in the direction that you call us to. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to begin today's message by making a couple of observations about the Bible. Firstly, the Bible is the Word of God and is inerrant and infallible in its original text. Inerrant means without error, and infallible means incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. It is perfect in nature. It is completely and utterly sufficient for us to understand who God is and who we are. And it is also authoritative for us. It is all that we need in this life to understand the truth about Jesus Christ and the sacrifice, mercy, and grace in his life, death, and resurrection. Secondly, the Bible itself is the very word of Jesus Christ. John 1:1 records that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That very word that John records about at the beginning of his gospel is Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we read scripture, we can trust that it is actually God that is speaking to us, not just the writings of man, but the word of God through the penmanship of man. Thirdly, it is not just Christians who study scripture, but rather there are many, many brilliant scholars, much smarter than me, but maybe not you, who are atheist or agnostic, who understand the ideological concept of what the Bible is. They understand the historical background, literary background, and authorship. Most rightfully believe that Jesus was a real man, but they do not believe that Jesus was God. And that right there is a key difference between an atheist view of the Bible and a Christian's view of the Bible. To an atheist, the Bible is a historical or philosophical document, but to a believer, the Bible is the authoritative word of our King. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth has been revealed to us. When we look to the passage that we just read, Jesus is speaking to the Jews and explaining to these highly regarded religious people that they know the scriptures so very well. Yet they wrongly use them, thinking that the scriptures alone will bring them eternal life. Now, to be clear, the scriptures do speak about eternal life, but that eternal life comes through Christ. Many of the Jewish groups at that time knew scripture really well, like really, really well. Often, young Jewish children would memorize the Torah by age 5, the Torah being Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Memorized. We see many examples of this knowledge through their testing of Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. Jewish leaders would often challenge Jesus on what the scripture teaches, and often we see Jesus correct their way of thinking and get to the heart of the teaching and the heart of the people that are asking these questions. And this encounter is no different. It isn't the understanding of scripture that gives one eternal life, but the person to whom scripture points towards. In their understanding of it, they missed the one who can provide the eternal life that they so desperately desired. They missed the Messiah. They missed Jesus. Now, to clarify, when Jesus speaks about the Jews searching the scriptures, he isn't speaking about the New Testament because it hadn't been written yet. He was speaking of the Old Testament, in particular, the writings of Moses. The law was what the Jews lived by. The commandments of the Lord through Moses in the first 5 books of Scripture that we just previously talked about revealed to Israel their sin and their need for holiness. This holiness did not come from the Jews' human effort to abide in the law, for the law is impossible to keep fully. Yet the Jews, like us, looked to the coming Messiah who would redeem the world from sin and reconcile sinners to God. We nor Israel are saved by our works or our own effort in upholding the law whatsoever, but by faith alone. And the object of our faith is the same object of Israel's faith. If you have your Bibles there, if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 to 3. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, or forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Let's continue a little bit. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. It was impossible for the Jews to keep the whole law and be perfectly holy the same way it is impossible for us to live a perfect, sinless life. Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him as righteousness. We believe in Christ and it is counted to us as righteousness. The law itself wasn't enough to save people from their sin. The law was a perfect standard of holiness that was impossible for sinful people to achieve. And God knew that. And because of that, God has made a way through Christ that all who believe in him will not perish but receive eternal life. Because Christ upheld all the law. He did what we could never do. What was impossible for man to do is not impossible with Christ. And when we put our faith in him, his righteousness covers us and provides us with the same favor with God that he received. Again, this comes through faith alone, through Christ alone. If we do not believe and trust in Christ and live in obedience to his salvational work in our lives, everything we do is for naught, and we will die in our sin. But when we trust in Jesus and truly believe in what he's accomplished on our behalf, we have the same victory over sin that he had. We share in his victory and will receive the eternal life that he has promised us in the new heavens and the new earth at the resurrection. This is what the Jews missed in this passage. We must receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and live every day in the truth of the gospel in order to have freedom through the gospel. Friends, this is the most important thing for us to remind ourselves of daily, whether new believer or old. That there is nothing more important in life than rightly understanding and trusting in the life that God has called us to through his Son. Nothing else in the universe brings us to this magnificent and glorious place. Christ is the one who achieves that on our behalf for us when we repent and turn away from our sin and believe and trust in him for our salvation. This is the gospel. This is the foundation of our faith. It is the reason that we do what we do. It is our why. But sometimes we miss this. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. And sometimes we miss this critical why component and focus far too much on the what component. I recall a number of years ago gathering with the music team for prayer on a Sunday morning service. We went into the prayer room and had a short time of fellowship and prayer, taking a few moments to center our hearts for what that morning would bring. And like most Sundays, most of our focus was on setting up our morning structure. How do we want to open the service? How many songs are we going to play? Is someone going to read from Scripture at some point? Should we stay on the platform or come down from the platform? And if we do come down from the platform, when should we go back up on the platform? Do we have a closing song or do we not have a closing song? These are the typical questions that often get asked as we prepare for a Sunday. And while preparation is certainly important, these are all what questions. And that morning in particular, if I recall correctly, was a more stressful one than normal. After we had finished sorting everything out, I remember Dave briefly pausing and then proposed a question to the group. Why do you follow Jesus? Dave asked a why question, and it brought silence to the room. Because the what is easy to answer. But the why causes one to look at oneself and reflect on the purpose behind the what. Why do you follow Jesus? At that moment on that Sunday morning, the conversation changed. Our hearts shifted. It was no longer about what we needed to do that morning, but more about why we were doing it. The what was important, but the why was foundational. Why do you follow Jesus? I've read countless books, articles, and blogs, and listened to numerous podcasts, sermons, and opinion pieces that speak to what we need to do to grow closer to Christ. The one that I tend to hear the most is read your Bibles. Now, reading our Bibles is far more than an intellectual exercise, but we are reading the very Word of God. When we read it, we are hearing God speak to us. But sometimes we can miss that. Sometimes we forget to remind ourselves of why we read Scripture instead of just what we need to read to make it to the next day in our Bible reading plan. The Jews did this in this teaching that we read in John chapter 5. They completely missed Jesus, and he is whom Scripture points to. Like I affirmed at the beginning of this message, the Bible is the Word of God. It is the authority that we submit to. In it, our hearts are transformed and we become more like Jesus. This can only happen through the intake and application of the Word. But we must first remind ourselves of why we are reading it. And that why should always come back to our trust in Jesus and our love for him. John 8:31 reads, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Before we can benefit spiritually from the word of God, we must first believe in Jesus. We must first believe that he is who he says he is. We must believe in the power of his work on the cross and believe in him and him alone for salvation. It is so important for us to be reading our Bibles, but if we are reading our Bibles just for the sake of reading them, an intellectual exercise, and not reading our Bibles because of our faith in Christ and for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus, then we are just like the Jews in this passage. A wonderful quote that I read recently comes from author and writer Matt Smethurst, who writes, "Your Bible is tangible evidence that the maker of the universe is a communicator. He's someone who initiates, who reveals, who speaks." God speaks with us through his word. When we open up the Bible with an authentic heart, he initiates the very words of Jesus in our life. He reveals more and more truth to us, and in turn, we learn to trust him on a deeper level. The word itself points to Christ. If we miss Christ, then we miss the purpose of the word. A little while back, I was having a conversation with a good friend, and we were reflecting on our recent devotional time with the Lord together. They had mentioned that they had been slacking on their Bible readings lately and wanted to do better. They wanted to spend more time reading the Word. Then at the end of the evening, as we were winding down our chat, they said something that really rounded out that conversation. They said, "Ultimately, I want to bring honor to the Lord in everything I do." I remember physically getting pumped up and just said, "Yes. That is so good." In all the hustle and bustle of our conversation about what they feel they should be doing, they brought the conversation back to why. To bring honor to the Lord in everything we do. And that is why it must always come back to Christ. It should always come back to the life-transforming power of his gospel in our lives. To remember that. Sometimes we look at our walk with Christ in the gospel and think that we somehow have to move on from where we started, move on from the gospel. We've professed faith in Christ. Now what? What's the next thing? What comes after the gospel? And simply put, nothing. Nothing comes after the gospel. The gospel is everything. We never move on from it. We never evolve out of it. The gospel is the center, the foundation of all that we are and all that we do. We can't move on to the next thing because there is simply nothing else to move on to. We never grow out of the gospel, but rather we grow deeper into it. The gospel never ends, and it's all that we will ever need. Everything that we must do stems out of the gospel and our love for Jesus. So yes, friends, read your Bible. Spend time in the Word, because our God is a God who speaks and communicates with us. And yes, while we're on it, spend time in prayer, because our God is a God who listens to us and wants to hear us speak to him. And yes, spend time serving at the church and in your community, because we are called to be servants just like Jesus was during his earthly ministry. Because when we do these things, we grow deeper in our trust in Christ and become more foundationally centered in him. We learn to rely on him for all things. We learn how to love God and love our neighbor. And our perspective of the world shifts to one of eternity. And when we look to Jesus and trust in him, we receive that eternal life that Christ has secured for us and that his very word testifies to. We never grow out of the gospel. We grow deeper into it. So today I propose a question to you. Why do you follow Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these passages that we've gone through this morning together. We thank you for the truth that they speak to us. And we thank you for the reminder, Lord, that Jesus is all that we need. That the gospel and his work on the cross is everything. Father, remind us of that this morning. Help us to write these things on our hearts through the power of your word, and help us to remember them. Lord, as we go through our days, help us to remember the why. Help us to remember why we do the things that we do. And remind us, Lord, that your love is greater than anything that we could possibly comprehend. Yet you have shown that love to us through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we offer our hearts and all that we are to you today. And, Lord, may everything that we do bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.